Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Pei Zayin. We're in Pei Vav and Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. These two men, Amram, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chananya, Amru Dava Echad. They seem to both hold similar views, one in the same shita when it comes to a mechitza required for water. Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Hadamar. Where do you find Rabbi Yehuda? That's what we just said earlier in the Mishnah of Pevavim et Aleph, that this bar is situated between two chatzeres, which requires some sort of separation, so that the members of each chatzer can draw from their side of that bar. Says Rabbi Yehuda, there's no need to actually form a mechitza specifically for the sake of drawing the water. Even this pre-existing wall running over the bar, which is there to delineate the boundaries between both chatzeres, that's sufficient to create that separation for the bar as well. Even though it's not within the bar, it doesn't appear like it was constructed for the sake of the bar, a mechitza tluya works. A suspended mechitza accomplishes that separation. We view it as though it descends downwards and separates the bar, separates the water within the bar. So that's from Yehuda's shita. We apply leniency when it comes to the water halacha, that even a suspended mechitza that does not appear to have been done for the sake of the water, a mechitza tluya will work. So that's from Yehuda. And we find Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, who also holds a similar concept that a mechitza tluya, we apply leniency when it comes to mechitza for water. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, the Sanya, as we find in the Braisa. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Oimer, Gzustra, Sheish ba arba amis al arba amis. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, two lines from the bottom. Amru davar echad hi kilu harbe b'mayim. We find that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chananya were very lenient when it comes to mechitzas for water. So what do we find, Rabbi Chananya? It says Rashi Gzustra, Sheilu malam an ayam. A balcony extending over a body of water. Now, I was going to learn later in the daf that the body of water is a karmelis. So how can one draw water from a karmelis up to the balcony, which is a rishis hayachid? Only through making a mechitza. Mechitza tentfacham high, which is going to be on the balcony. So we have a balcony suspended over water with an opening inside the balcony through which you lower your pail down to the water below. The only way you can draw from the water below, which is a karmelis, up to the balcony, which is a shayachid, is by forming a mechitza tentfachim around that opening, or right below the opening. And that mechitza is viewed as though it extends downward into the water, creates a separate area, so you can draw water from within the confines of that mechitza, which is deemed like a shayachid, up to the balcony, which is a shayachid. That's the halacha we're going to learn in the Mishnah. So Rechanani tells us that a large-sized gzustra, this balcony has yesh ba arba amis, mirubois, 4x4 amis. How many tfachim is that? Shein chavdal tfachim al chavdal tfachim, which is 24 tfachim by 24 tfachim. Amma is 6 tfachim. So 4 amis is 24 tfachim. If you have this large size balcony, which is 24 tfachim long by 24 tfachim wide, then you don't even need to go ahead and construct a mechitza. Says the Gemara, up on Pezalin Amar Aleph. You need only carve an opening, a square of 4x4 tfachim within in this balcony, and then that allows him to lower his pail through that opening down to the water below. So you have this balcony which is 24 tfachim across, 24 tfachim in all directions. You carve a square of 4x4 tfachim in the middle, and how much does that leave you per side? Well, if you began with 24, deduct the 4, you have 10 tefach on one side, 10 tefach on the other side, 10 tefach on the front, 10 tefach on the back. So what does it do? So Rashi explains that a mechitza needs to be 10 tefach on high and enclosing an area of a minimum of 4 tefach. That's the halacha of a mechitza. So Rechanani here says a chiddush, that even if the mechitza here, even if the material of the balcony is actually horizontal, it's not vertical at all, what we do is we virtually bend that material downward. So we have the hole in the middle, 10 tefach on either side. So we view it as though it bends downward and creates a mechitza, a vertical mechitza, towards the water. And we do this on all four sides. This side, this side, the front, and the back. So we have a opening in the middle, 4x4, and we have four mechitzas on all four sides. Mechitzas which are 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, which create that enclosure, a 4x4, which is a properly enclosed area. So we apply a double leniency according to Rav Chananya. We virtually bend those mechitzas downward, and we also pull them and extend them down to the water. So we find a leniency when it comes to mechitzas required for water. So Rabba tied the two things together. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda, who applies a leniency when it comes to mechitzas of water, and Rav Chananya are both holding one and the same view when it comes to mechitzas pertaining to water. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye responded, perhaps two things are unrelated. Vadil Maloi, perhaps you can draw a distinction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Chananya. Adkan like Amar Rabbi Yehuda Hassam, perhaps it's only over there. Rabbi Yehuda allows this wall, which runs over the burr, to be applied to the burr itself. Ela the Amar good, aches mechitzas. He only says you can pull, aches, bring down the mechitza. So it only requires one step, pull and descend downward. Okay, so that he allows. Aval koif, the goid loy. But to actually bend, to virtually bend those mechitzas, and then the goid, and then pull them down, that's a double kula. Perhaps loy, he won't agree to that. So perhaps Rabbi Yehuda won't agree with Rabbi Chananya. And likewise, perhaps Rabbi Chananya won't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Fa'at kam like Omar, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Hassan, perhaps it's only over there. Rabbi Chananya applied these leniencies. That's only because it was a unique situation. Ela b'yamashal Tveria. It was pertaining to the Yam of Tveria, the Yam Kineris, which was unique. Why hoyil v'yeshlo, oignim v'ayorois v'kar fifois makifas oisa. It so happens that the Yam Kineris had mechitzes surrounding it, had oignim, these high banks, ayorois, towns, v'kar fifois, these enclosed storage area, makifas oisa, surrounding the Yam, so already had mechitzes. Now, although it was a large, enclosed, non-residential area, which is considered to be a karmelis. But since it already had some sort of mechitzas around it, which give it the appearance that it's not really a reshus harabim. So even though technically it still has the element of a karmelis because it's a large, non-residential enclosure, Chachamim allowed a kula when it comes to making the mechitza in order to draw water because it already doesn't appear much like a reshus harabim. So perhaps only over there can you apply this double leniency of virtually bending and pulling. Aval b'shar mimislay. When it comes to other bodies of water, perhaps he wouldn't allow this type of procedure. So according to Abaye, you can't compare. Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chananya is Rabbi Chananya. Each one is speaking about a specific situation, and not necessarily are they related one to the other. Amar Abaye, uladivrei Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. According to Rabbi Chananya's approach, sometimes you don't even need to have such a large size balcony of 24x24 tefach. How? Say, this balcony wasn't just a freestanding platform. It was actually within close proximity to a wall. So you already have a pre-existing wall, and the balcony is merely extending from that wall, and it's within 3 tefachim to the wall, in which case it's like connected to the wall. Less than 3 is loved. So in this case, the balcony need only be smaller in size to accomplish the same goal, to create the mechitzas around that opening. How? If it was less than 3 tefachim on the wall, how large does it have to be then? Then the length needs to be 4 amis, which is 24 tefachim, just as before. So the length doesn't change. However, the width of the balcony doesn't need to be 4 amis in this case. It need only be 11 tefachim and a bit. So the length is 24 tefachim across, but the width is only 11 and a bit. Why is that? So you already have a pre-existing wall, the one closest to you. That's taken care of. Now, let's form the mechitza for the far side. How are we going to do that? So if this balcony is 11 and a bit wide, so we virtually bend 10 of those 11 downward towards the water. And now we have a mechitza parallel to the pre-existing wall. So now we have two mechitzas. And we still have some surface on top. one and a bit running all across. That wasn't bent downward. I only took 10 and bent it downward. So that 11, that one and a bit still sitting on top will now be used for the mechitza on the right and the left. You take some of that and bend it down to the left, and you do the same to the right, bend it down to the right. So now you have a mechitza, a wall near you. You have a 10 tefach mechitza parallel to that wall. You have a mechitza to the right, to the left. Now, the mechitza to the right and left are only one and a bit. There are 10 long, because it's all the way down. But it's only one and a bit wide. But the answer is, since it's within 3 tefachim to the wall, so that's considered like a wall, like a mechitza. So you have one and a bit, plus the gap, which is less than 3. So one and a bit plus less than 3 is 4. So you've created a mechitza, which is 4 tefach wide, by 10 tefach long, to the right and the left. Now, how are you going to have an opening of 4x4 on top? So you carve on that 1.5, you carve a carving of 4 tefach long within that surface of 1 and a bit. So together with the gap, the pre-existing gap, which is less than 3 towards the wall, you have a opening of 4x4 surrounded fully by mechitzas. So it works like this. You have a pre-existing wall. You have a balcony, which is 24 tefach long, 11 and a bit wide. Now, you have that pre-existing wall. So now all you need to do is bend 10 tefach to create the parallel wall. And you still have one and a bit on top. You pull that down on either side. And since it's within 3 tefach to the wall, then you have a mechitza 4 tefach on the left, 4 tefach on the right. And on top, you carved a carving of length of 4 and a width of 1 and a bit. Since it's next to the wall, which is within 3 tefachim, so you have 4x4 opening on top, surrounded fully by mechitzas on all 4 sides. So now all you need is a balcony 24 long by 11 and a bit wide. So that's in this case because it's near a wall. Now we have another example, in which case you don't even need to have such a large size balcony. Let's say the thing here wasn't really a balcony, it was a board, which was parallel, which was a vertical board, parallel to the wall. So we have a wall with a vertical board. How large size board is necessary to create the mechitza around that opening on top? Sorich shehe goiva sar tefachim. In this case, it needs to be 10 tefachim high. Shir mechitza. V'roichva, how wide? Vav tefachim ashnim ashurin. Merely 6 tefach and 2 bits. Why is that? Because you already have the wall close to you. This board, which is parallel, This vertical board is creating another mechitza. Now what about the other two, on the right and the left? Now let's remember this board is within a few tefach to the wall. Meaning that we'll take this board, which is six and 2 bits wide, take one and a bit of tefachim and virtually bend it towards the wall and place it within 3 tefachim to the wall. So now you have a mechitza near you, a mechitza 4 tefachim there. This one and a bit, which is facing the wall, and within 3 tefachim to the wall, creates a mechitza of 4. The same thing on the other side. Take one and a bit tefach there, bend it vertically towards the wall, and create a mechitza there. So now you have 4 mechitzas on 4 sides. So it's like this. You have a mechitza near you. You have this board, which is 10 high, 6 and 2 bits wide. You virtually bend those sides. Each bend is one and a bit. You bend it towards the wall, and the distance between that and the wall is less than 3. So you have 1 and a bit plus less than 3 is 4. So you've created 4 walls, one near you, one here, which is 10 by 4, and to the left you have a mechitza, to the right you have a mechitza. And the opening is on top, which is exactly 4 by 4. So in this case, you could even use a small size board to create a mechitza all around that opening, which is going to be 10 high and 4 wide. Says the Gemara another example. Amar Huna Breda Vishua, Haisei Medes Bekeren Zavis. Let's say this board was facing a pre-existing corner. So we have a structure which has already a corner. And now you're going to have a board opposite that corner. How large size board is necessary? Tzorich Sheigoiva Yutfachim. Then you need the board to be 10 tfachim high, it's greater machitza. But how wide? Very little. V'roichva beis tfachim v'shnei mashuyin. Needs to be merely 2 and 2 bits wide. How's that? So you have the pre-existing structure here, creating 2 machitzas. You take a board which is 10 tefach high, which is merely 2 tefach and 2 bit wide. You virtually fold it, right? With each portion of that fold, which is 1 and a bit tefachim, situated within tefachim to the pre-existing wall. So you've created a machitza, 10 tefach high, since the fold is 1 and a bit, and the gap between that fold and the wall, between that machitza and the wall, is less than 3, you've completed a machitza 4 tefachim. So you do that to the left, and do that to the right as well. And created a complete enclosure of 10 tefachim by 4 and 4. And you fill by opening a window and tossing your pail into that hole, down to the water below, which is now considered to be a fully enclosed area, which is sayach. Says the Gemara, okay, so if the balcony or the board needs to be just so small in size, so why does Rabbi Hananya ben Akavi speak about a balcony which is 24 tefachim or 24 tefachim, which is so large in size, doesn't seem to be necessary? Says the Gemara about Lahad Asanya. If that's the case, when we learn in the Brayse, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavi oymer gzustra sheyesh bo dalat amis al dalat amis. This balcony, which contains 4x4 amis, chokik bo dalat al dalat mamali, you can carve the opening a 4x4 and use it to fill. When is that to be applied? When is that needed? We never need such a large size balcony. So that's more David the Kasisa. We're speaking about a freestanding platform. So Asita is a mortar, meaning you have to go ahead and form the entire vessel with its own material, the walls, the bottom surface, using one material to create the entire thing. So we're speaking about such a situation where you don't have any walls nearby to support and to assist in creating the mechitzas. You have a freestanding platform above water. So in which case, you're creating the entire enclosure merely using the material of that balcony. So in that case, you need to have a large-sized balcony, 24 tefachim by 24 tefachim. We carve the 4x4 in the middle, and we view the sides as though they descend downward, and create a mechitza of 10 tefachim by 4 all around that opening. Continues the Mishnah. Ama samayim sheveres b'chatzim. Now let's speak about a stream of water, whether man-made or natural stream, running through the chatzar. So it's coming from outside the city, coming through the city, running in the chatzar, into the chatzar, and out through the other side as well. Ein memalin hemena b'shabbos. One cannot draw water from that stream. Ela em kin osa la mechitza? Gavay yudfachem. Unless you created a mechitza for the sake of the stream, within the confines of the stream, not above it, within the stream itself. It needs to be 10 tefachim high. Where do you position the mechitza? B'knisa b'yitzia, on the way in to the chatzar, on the way out. Let's perhaps see Rashi inside explains this for us. So you notice the wide lines in Rashi. So just drop down 8 lines to the words masnisen. It says Rashi, amasamayim. I feel a bit sayachet. Even if this amasamayim is running through Rish sayachet, it's running through a chatzar. Karmelisi. It is treated like a karmelis. Because it's connected to the water outside the chatzah, which is a karmelis, so we can't draw from it. It appears like you're drawing from a karmelis to the chatzah. So even when it's within the confines of the chatzah, within the mechitzah of the chatzah, we're speaking that the chatzah has mechitzahs all around, which actually run over the amas hamayim. But that's not enough. You need to make a mechitzah. You can't draw elam kin osla mechitzah, says Rashi, b'soicha igneh, within the rims, within the banks, within the amma itself, al pnei roichva, over the width of the amma. So meaning you have a stream, you have to make a mechitza running over it to disconnect it from Rishos HaRabim. Shei nikar shebishvil hamayim nasis. It needs to be done within the confines of the stream, so that it should be visible that it was done for that purpose. A mechitza is hachatzar atluyev averes al gaba in a ma'eloslo. However, this mechitza, which delineates the boundary of the chatzar itself, which runs over the stream, that's not enough. Even though we're following the shita that the mechitza tluya works, when it comes to water, all agree that we're working with Beis Hillel, as we discussed yesterday, we don't need the mechitza to actually be in the water. The suspended mechitza works, says Rashi, but that's only when it was visible that it was intended for the water. That's only when you can see that it was done for the sake of water. So yeah, a mechitza, even a suspended mechitza, but if it was done in order to create separate usage areas within the water, yeah, then we deem it as though it extends downwards and create that separate usage within the water. For instance, the balcony, which you're going to see later in the Mishnah, where you create a mechitza up on top, around the whole of the balcony, and we treat it as though it extends downwards, even though it's a suspended mechitza, but it was done for the sake of drawing water, so it creates that separation within the water. It accomplishes that goal. The mechitza within the bar that we discussed yesterday. So since you made a mechitza in the bar, which is clearly indicative of the fact that you're trying to separate the usage within the bar, it's b'shvil hamayim, then Chacham allowed even a suspended mechitza. But if it's just a pre-existing mechitza, which doesn't give the impression that it's coming to separate the water itself, it's just there. It's just like a structure being used for the boundary of the chatzar. That's not b'shvil hamayim. So that suspended mechitza won't affect the water, won't separate the usage area within the water. Therefore, going to Tanakama, in order to use the stream, you have to go ahead and create a mechitza within the confines of the stream, 10 tefachim high, on the way into the chatzar, on the way out, to disconnect it from the body of water which is outside the chatzar. Continues the mission. That's the shita of the Tanakama. Again, Tanakama holds that a suspended mechitza is unique to water. It's a kula applied to water, and it has to appear that it's functioning for the water itself. It's coming to separate the usage areas within the water. Only that creates that true heker, a true indication that there's a separate usage area. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, he disagrees, just as he told us yesterday, that any suspended mechitza works, even over dry land. So it's not unique to water. It doesn't have to appear that it was constructed for the water. Says Rabbi Yehuda, even the wall running above the stream, the pre-existing wall being used for the boundaries of the chatzar, that's also fine. Rabbi Doimer, Kaisel Shal Gaba, Tidar Mishim Mechitza. Let us use the Mechitza applying the Kaisel of the chatzar running over the stream. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maase Ba'ama Shel Avel. In fact, it was a story with a stream of water. Shel Avel, name of the town, show you a malan menu al pizakein and b'shamas. They would use it. They would draw water from it with the full consent of the elders, without a unique, specific mechitza, a water mechitza being constructed. Harmless. They told me. You know why? Because it didn't have the required dimensions of a karmless. It either wasn't 10 tefachim deep or 4 tefachim wide. In which case, there's no concern. In that case, you don't even need a mechitza. That's why they allowed it, even without a mechitza. Tan Rabbana. So regarding the stream of water which is running in and out of the chatzar, asula b'knisa. We learned in the brisa that if you made a mechitza on the way in, v'lo yosla b'yitzia, not on the way out, asula b'yitzia, v'lo yosla b'knisa, or they made a mechitza on the way out of the chatzar, but not on the way in. Ein memalon him and a b'shabbos, you cannot draw water from it on Shabbos. Elim kein asula mechitza, yutfachem b'yitzia or b'knisa, unless you constructed a mechitza ten tefachem on the way out and on the way in to completely disconnect it on both sides from the stream of water, from the body of water outside the chatzar. Rabbi Daimer, Kaisel Shal Gaba Tidem Shemachitza. Let the wall running over that stream be applied as a mechitza for the stream of water itself. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, there was even a story, Maisa Ma'amas Amayim. There was an incident with this specific stream of water, Shaisa Ba Me'avel Tzipari, which was running from Avel to Tzipari, Vayum Malin Hemena B'Shamas. And since it came into the town and ran through the courtyards, the people of the Chatzeres would draw water from it. Al piaskenim, with the full okay of these elders. Amar lo, they told him, Misham Raya. How can you prove it from there? Misham lo yehoisa amukhi yutvachim. V'roichva dalet. Didn't have the proper dimensions of a karmas. Either it wasn't 10 tvachim deep, or 4 tvachim wide, in which case, it certainly is considered a full-fledged susayachid. And there's no concern, there's no need for mechitza. But generally speaking, a large size stream, it needs to be completely disconnected from the body of water outside the chatzar via a mechitza constructed specifically to separate the water. Continues the Gemara. Tan idach, we learned in another brayse. Amas hamayim ha'iveres ben achalenis. Suppose there's a stream of water which runs along the windows. So you have windows on either side belonging to residents, and there's a stream of water running below. Can they draw water from this stream? If it's less than 3 tefachim wide, you can go ahead and lower down, let down your pail through your window to the stream, and fill water. Gimel, if it's 3 tefachim wide, ain't mishalshel. You cannot do that. So according to Tanakama, the shear is 3. If it's less than 4 tefachim wide, then you can lower your pail and draw water. Dalid, if it's 4 tefachim, then you can't. Ein mishal shel li memale. Now the Gemara will explain what exactly are we referring to. 3, 4. But my askinim, what are we trying to measure here? Ilei me ba'amas hamayim gufa. We're measuring the stream itself. So Tanakam is telling us if it's less than 3, then you can draw from it because it's not a karmelis. And therefore, there's no concern drawing from the stream, which is a malkum tur, to the house, which is the Rishus HaYachid. Whereas Reb Shimon says, only if it's less than 4, but if it's 4, then you can't. Meaning, according to him, if it's up to 4, not including, it's not yet a karmelis, and you can draw from it. A karmelis needs to be 4 tefachim. So that appears to be the machlokes. What is the required shear of a karmelis? According to Tanakama, 3 tefach is already a karmelis, which precludes drawing from the karmelis to the home. Whereas according to Pshim Gamliel, a karmelis is only if it's 4 tefach wide. Is that the case? Is that the subject of the dispute here regarding the shear of a karmelis, 3 or 4? That seems to be a bit difficult. Why? If that's the case, then what about the following statement? When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told us the name of Yochanan, Ein Karmelis Pchusim Midalit. There's no Karmelis less than 4 tefachim, meaning the minimum dimension of a Karmelis is 4. Leimek Tanoi Amar L'Shmaite, should we say that this statement is a subject of Machlokes Tanoi? According to Pshim Gamliel, indeed it's 4, but not according to Chachamim. Which seems to be a bit difficult to say that this statement, name of Yochanan, is dependent on Machlokes Tanoi. Apparently, says the Gemara, that's not the subject of the discussion here regarding the shear of a karmelis. All agree that a karmelis is 4 tefachim. Rather, the question is, Ela bagafel. The question is regarding the size of the elevated these elevated banks near the stream. Ula hachlef. The question is, can you go ahead and lower your pail from your home, which is Shusay Yachid, down onto that bank, which is a small area, which is a mokim p'tur, and then once you've landed it there, proceed and bring it over to the stream, which is a karmelis. So since it's an indirect carrying, because you made a stopover on the mokim p'tur, that would allow you to do that. You can go ahead and transfer something from a shesayachet to a karmelis if you've made a stopover in the mokim p'tur. Ela bagafel. The question is regarding the size of those banks, ula hachlef, in order to transfer from the home to the river, to the stream, in this manner. So that's the question. We're speaking about a stream which is a karmelis. No question about that. The question is regarding transferring through the bank. And the question is how large is considered to be a makam tur. According to Shim Gamliel, as long as it's less than four tefachim, it's batel. It's a makam tur. That allows you to transfer your pail from your home onto that bank, which is a makam tur. You haven't done anything yet, because it's not considered to be its ownership. And then you can take from there, bring it to the stream, fill it, put it back on the bank, bring it back home. Whereas according to Tanakama, according to the Chachamim, only if it's less than 3 tefachim, then we consider it to be makam tur and batel to the karmelis. But if it's more than 3 tefachim, then it's not batel to the karmelis. It's not considered to be a makam tur relative to a karmelis. So Rashi points out, although generally all agree that less than 4 is a makam tur, but we're speaking about a karmelis, which doesn't have its own unique identity. It's not a prominent Rishus. It's not like Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim. So when something needs to be subordinate to a Karmelis, it needs to be smaller in size. Otherwise, it's not bottled to the Karmelis, which doesn't really have prominence. So that's the Shita of the Chachamim. If it's less than three, then it's bottled to the Karmelis, and you can go ahead and transfer your pail from your home to the bank and to the stream. But if it's three or more, then you cannot do that. So that's the subject of the Machlokes here, not regarding the size of the Karmelis. All agree a Karmelis is four, in accordance with Rav Dimi's statement. The question is regarding the size of the Mokum Tur next to the Karmelis. Chum say, up until three, not including, is a Mokum Tur, where Rav Shimon says, if it's less than four, then it's still okay. Says the Gemara, that also seems to be a bit difficult. Why? Vachi asa Rav Dimi om Rav Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came, he said, name Rav Yechanan, Mokum Shein Bo Ya'bal Abo, if you have a surface which is less than 4x4 Tvach, Mutur, Levnei Yishu Sayachad, Levnei Yishu Sarab, Mekatef Olav. So, all members of the Sayachad or Sarabim can use this surface. So let's say you have this post, this mound, which is less than 4x4, which is a Mokum Tur, situated near Rishu Sayachad, near Rishu Sarabim, everybody can use it. Lekat Evolv, to place the packages on it, because it's bottle. Ubevash Le'echlif, provided they don't transfer through this Makam Tur from Rishu Sayachad, through the Makam Tur to Rishu Sarabim, or vice versa. It shouldn't appear like you're actually transferring a Klif from one Rishu to the other. So we see that although a Makam Tur is bottle, but you can't use it at the transit point. So how can the Tanoim and our Brice allow that? So it's more Hossam Rishis Deraisa. There we're speaking about Sayachar Sarabim, which involves a Deraisa. Transferring from one to the other is Asam Natar. So even through Makam Tur, Rabbi Yechon says you shouldn't do it. It shouldn't appear like there was a transfer that took place, which might lead a person to actually transfer directly. Hacha Rishis Durabbanan. The discussion here is regarding Durabbanan Rishis, because a home is Rishu Sayachad, the stream is merely a Karmelis, so we're not involving Isurim Dereis, therefore Chachamim did not apply any stringency here regarding transferring from one to the other through a Makam Tur. Says the Gemara, for Rabbi Yechonah B'Shiz D'Rabban Nami Amar. We find that Rabbi Yechonah, even when it pertained to B'Shiz D'Rabban, he did not allow transferring through a Makam Tur. The Snan, Koysel Shebein Beis Chatzeres. We have this wall running between two courtyards, which creates a partition. This compels them to make two separate Erevs. They can't join together in one. Suppose there were fruit sitting on the upper surface of this wide wall, which is four tefachim wide. That's considered to be its own independent territory, which doesn't require an Erev. The members of this chatzar can climb up and eat. The members of the other chatzar can climb up and eat the fruit which is present here. Nifrat ha-kaisel, let's say the wall got breached somewhat. So ad eser amos, if the pirtz is up until 10 amos, that's considered to be like a Pesach, which gives them the option, if they want to join together, they can do so. If they want to create separate heirs, they can do so as well. Ma'arven shnayim, they can make two separate heirs. Imrotzu ma'arven echad, if they wish, they can join together as one. Ipnei shukim Pesach. Because this breach is considered like a Pesach, because it's up until and including 10 Amis. Yoyser Mekan, let's say the breach is wider than 10 Amis, that makes the Mechitza obsolete. And now we have one Chatzar, Ma'arv and Echa, they need to make one Erev together. Ma'arv and Shnayim, they can no longer make two separate independent Erevs. Now that was the mission. Vavinaba, and we asked the question, Ein Bo Arba Mai, what if the top surface of the wall is not four tefach wide, it's less than four, which is an insignificantly sized area, a Makam Tur. What happens there? Can they both use it? Can they both not use it? Amarav avir beiz rishuyos sheilatis boy. The earth space of both properties, meaning they both control it, they both extend their jurisdiction over to that top surface, it's bottled to both sides. Now we have dual users, dual owners, and you can't even go ahead and move something even just a little bit. Kimulainima means a hair's breadth. So even just a little bit, you can't move anything on top of that wall because it's jointly used by both chatzers. It's bottled to both sides. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says just the opposite. It's a Makam Tur, but reckon with it. Everybody can use it. Elu malin mikan va'ichlin. The members of the chatzar on the right can bring up their material onto the chatzar, onto the wall, and eat it. Ve'elu malin mikan va'ichlin. Likewise, the members on the other side can bring up their food onto the top surface of this wall and eat. Since it's a narrow surface, it's makom patur. Doesn't need an eruv. So they can bring up, but they can't transfer over to the other side. That you can't do. As the Gemara explains, Va'azdo Rabbi Yechonon Tamei. Rabbi Yechonon follows his sheet, the Chiyasa Rav Dimi, Am Rabbi Yechonon, because Rav Dimi came. He told us, Name Rabbi Yechonon. That's what we said earlier, Makam She'en Bo'ya Bo'al Arbo. If you have a surface which is less than 4x4 Tefachim, situated near Rosh Hashayachon Shasarabim, it's a Makam Tur, it's Batal. Mutur, Levnei Rosh Hashayachon, Ulevnei Rosh Hashayachon, the Katif Olav. The members of both, Rosh Hashayachon, and Rosh Hashayachon can lean their packages on it, because it's Batal. Provided they don't transfer through this makam tur from one to the other. So it can't be used as a transit point from Shayachat to Sarabim. And likewise, in our case of a makam tur situated between two chatzeris, which involves only Rishis Durabbanan, because we're speaking about both Rishis Sayachats here, it's only Issa Durabbanan, Issa transferring without an Erev that we're speaking about, still you cannot go ahead and transfer from one to the other through makam tur. And this seems to be inconsistent with our pshat in the Brisa earlier regarding that stream running near the windows, which we had interpreted as discussing the question of whether you can transfer through the makam tur. The question is how big is still considered to be a makam tur, but apparently all agree you can transfer through a makam tur. And the Gemara tells us, well, because it's Rishis Rabbanan, and therefore we could apply that leniency. This is inconsistent with this Gemara here, that Rabbi Yechon maintains that this restriction of transferring through a makam tur applies even to Rishis Rabbanan, as in the case of the wall between two chatzeres. Says the Gemara, Hahi Ziri Amra, that this halacha that we just mentioned, that the members of the chatzar can only bring their food on top, but they can't transfer from one chatzar to the other via a makam tur, is Ze'iri's version of Rabbi Yechon Shita. He holds that even by Rishis Rabbanon, transfer through makam tur is not allowed. However, according to Rav Dimi, which was the first Manda Amar here, the name of Rabbi Yechon, he holds that transfer through a makam tur when pertaining to Rishis Rabbanon is allowed. And according to Rav Dimi, the topic of discussion that Braisa is regarding transferring through Rishis Rabbanon through a makam tur when it comes to Rishis Rabbanon. That's allowed. So there's no conflict. There's two separate versions, two separate shittas, two separate talmidim in the name of Yechonon. So according to Rav Dimi, which was the Mandama earlier, the discussion, the Braisa there regarding filling from that stream running between the windows, it's not pertaining to the size of a karmelis. Rav Dimi told us clearly that karmelis needs to be 4 tefachim. There's no machlekes there. The question was regarding transiting through a makam tur, through those high banks. So that's allowed, because it's a Rishis Rabbanan. So according to Rabbanan, if it's less than 3 tefachim, it's a makam tur. According to Rishon Gamliel, it's less than 4. And that's the topic of discussion. So all agree regarding the size of a karmelis, which is 4. The question is, regarding the size of a makam tur next to the karmelis. Now, according to Ze'iri, which is the second mandamer, you can't transfer through a makam tur even when it pertains to Rishis Rabbanan. If that's the case, how are we going to interpret the machlekes in that braisa? What is it pertaining to regarding filling from that stream? Ule Ze'iri kashyaha. That braisa will be difficult because according to Ze'iri, one is not allowed to transfer through a makam tur even when it concerns only Rishis Rabbanan. So what is the braisa speaking about? Well, Ze'iri kashyaha, says the Gemara, Ze'iri mukum labama samayim gufa. According to Ze'iri, the discussion is regarding the dimension requirements of the actual stream, meaning, what is the required shear of a karmelis? According to the Rabbanan, if it's less than 3, it's not a karmelis. Once it's 3, it's a karmelis. According to Shimon Gamliel, a karmelis is to be 4 tefachim. So if the stream is less than 4, you can draw from it directly. Once it's 4 tefachim, it's a karmelis. You can't draw from it directly and bring it to the home. So according to Ze'iri, the machlokes is not regarding transferring through the riverbank to the water itself. The question is a very direct question. Could I draw water from that stream, which is a karmelis, over to the home, which is a shesayachet? The question is it a karmelis or is it not? What size does it need to be to conform to karmelis? According to Rabbanan, once it's 3 tefachim, it is already a karmelis. You can't draw directly. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, a karmelis needs to be 4 tefachim. If it's less than 4, it's okay. Says Gemara again, Ze'iri Mukamla, he establishes and interprets that discussion about Masalayim Gufa regarding the actual size of the stream. What is considered to be a karmelis? Rav Dimi Tanoihi. And indeed, the statement of Rav Dimi, which was that a karmelis needs to be a minimum of 4 tefachim, is actually a subject of Machlokes Tanoim. So in short, according to Rav Dimi, the sheer karmelis of 4 tefachim is uncontested. All agree. The Machlokes in the Braisa there is regarding transferring through a Makom Patur to the karmelis. How large is the Makom Patur when it's near a karmelis? According to Chachamim, less than 3 is a Makom Patur, which allows you to transfer. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if it's less than 4, it's still a Makom Patur and allows you to transfer through the Makom Patur into the karmelis. That's according to Rav Dimi, because he holds that you can transfer through a Makom Patur by Rishis Rabban. According to Ze'iri, just the opposite. He holds you can't transfer through a Makom Patur, even when you're transferring from one Rishis Yachid to the other, or from Rishis Yachid to the karmelis, which are Rishis Rabban. That's agreed upon by all. There's no discussion about that. The Machlokes pertains to the size of a karmelis. So I'd like to draw it directly from that stream. Is it a karmelis? Is it not? According to Rabbanan, if it's less than 3, it's not a karmelis. Once it's 3, it's already a karmelis. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if it's less than 4, it's not a karmelis. So the machlokes is regarding the required size of a karmelis. According to Rav Shimon, a karmelis is 4. According to Rabbanan, a karmelis is 3. Says the Gemara, okay, so let's say we're speaking about a small size stream. Right? According to Ze'iri's Pshat, if it's less than 3, according to Rabban, it's not a karmelis, but it's coming from a karmelis. This stream originated from a large size stream, which was a karmelis. So though right here it's smaller than a karmelis, but it's coming. It's like an extension of a karmelis. Why don't we treat it like a karmelis? Let's treat it like the whole of a karmelis. Rashi brings the Gemara in Shabbos that if you have a chayre rishus harabim, have a street and you have a wall nearby with a hole, even though the hole is not 16 amos wide, it doesn't conform to the dimension of Rishus Rabim, but it's an extension of the area of Rishus Rabim, has a din of Rishus Rabim. So this small size stream should be viewed as an extension of the large size stream, which is a karmelis. Says the Gemara Abaye bar Abin, Rav Chinna bar Abin, they both said, the Amr Tavayu, they both said, no, ein chayr in the karmelis, since karmelis is only Rishus Rabban, Chacham did not apply this stringency, this concept of chayr. If it doesn't conform to the dimensions of a karmelis right here, we don't treat it like a karmelis. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu teima yeish chayr in the karmelis, even if you maintain it generally, karmelis has holes and extensions, hanim yil b'smucha, it's only if it's in the midi vicinity of the karmelis. Hachav mufleges, here we're speaking that it's far away from the large size stream, therefore it doesn't have a din of a karmelis. So at this point we have two approaches, two explanations to the machlekes in the Brice. Says the Maravina Omar, he has a third approach to explain the machlekes between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabban. We're speaking where they actually created mechitzes. He went ahead and created a partition for the stream, on the way in of the chatzar, on the way out of the chatzar. However, the mechitza wasn't a complete mechitza. So we have the stream, and he made these outlets, these partial mechitzas, these barriers facing each other. But he left a gap. Suppose he left a gap to have the water flow through. Now, the question is, could we connect the two portions of the mechitza to create that disconnect for the stream? Right? We have the stream. Instead of creating a full mechitza, he created two partial mechitzas facing each other. And he left a shear, which is less than 3, or less than 4. The question is, do we apply lava to connect it? That depends what lava it is. Rabbanan hold less than 3 is lava. Therefore they say, if the gap is less than 3, that's a proper machitz, you can draw from the stream. It's considered to be cordoned off. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he holds less than 4. It's still considered lava. So as long as the gap is less than 4, we have a proper machitz. So it's a very straightforward machlekes. Ravina Amar ki going to avid la nifki apuma. he created these outlets at the opening of the stream, these partial barriers, leaving a gap. Va'azdu Rabban l'tamai, the Rabbanim that speak about less than three, they're following their shita, less than three is lavud, and considered to be closed off. Rishon Gamliel l'tamai is following his shita, less than four is lavud, and therefore is considered to be closed off. So in summary, regarding the Amas Samayim, which runs along the windows, and the Braisa wants to allow us to be Mishal Shod Lima Mali, to lower our pail into the stream, draw water, bring it to the home. Rabbanim say if it's less than three, you can do that. Shmuel Gamliel says if less than four, you can do that. There are three approaches, according to Rav Dimi. We're not speaking about drawing from the actual stream, which is a kamlis. Rather, putting your pail on the elevated banks, which are makam tur, and allowing that to serve as the transfer point to the stream. So according to Rabbanim, less than three is a makam tur. According to Shmuel Gamliel, less than four is a makam tur. Ziri holds, all agree you can't transfer through a makam tur. The question is regarding drawing from the stream itself. According to Rabbanu, if it's less than three, it's not yet a kamlis. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if it's less than four, it's not yet a kamlis. According to Ravina, we're speaking where he made those mechitzas with a gap. According to Rabbanu, less than three is loved, considered to be closed off. According to Shimon Gamliel, less than four is loved, and considered to be a proper mechitzah. Continues the Mishnah. So we have this balcony extended over the body of water. Body of water is a kamlis. So you can't draw from the karmelis below up to the balcony, which is Sayachit. Ein mimalan hemena b'shabbos. You can't draw water through the opening of the balcony. Elam kein oslo mechitza gavoyas ratfachim. Unless he created a mechitza tentfachim high. Where? Where is he going to place it? Bein milamal. Whether he places the mechitza on top, around the opening. Bein milamat. Whether directly below, suspended under the balcony. But doesn't have to actually reach the water below. He was speaking that this mechitza was designated for the water, specific for drawing and filling water. Therefore, that creates the heker. It's an indicator, and we view it as though it extends downwards, creates an enclosure in the water below, and anything within it is considered to be drawing from Rishus HaYachad. V'chein shtei gzus trois zulamal mezu. Likewise, if you have two balconies, one above the other, so they're situated at two levels, one higher than the other, not directly above each other. They're a bit removed. Now, osul el yoyna, osul tachtoyna. The members of the upper balcony have a hole with mechitzas, which allow them to draw on Shabbos. Osul tachtoyna, however, the member of the lower balcony, they didn't make a mechitza for themselves. So they have to go ahead and toss their pail upwards over the upper balcony through their hole. So since it's considered to be a joint area of usage, shtein asuris, they both can't use it, ashi arvon, unless they make an erev. Because it's considered to be jointly controlled, which requires an erev. Says Gemara Masnisin, deloy kechananya ben Akavya. Our Mishnah, which appears to require a mechitza on that balcony, in all situations, seems to be inconsistent with Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, which was the shita we mentioned earlier, that doesn't always require mechitza. As long as you have a large size balcony, you view the material of the balcony as though it bends downwards and creates those virtual mechitzas. The sanya, as we went in the braisa, chanani ben kavi oimer, gzustro sheyesh ba dal amis. This balcony contains an area of 4 amis long by 4 amis wide. Chokik ba dalad al dalad memalani. All you need to do is carve an opening of 4x4 tfachim in the middle, and view the sides as though they extend downward and create mechitzas. So this seems to be in conflict with our Mishnah. It doesn't allow this type of arrangement. Omar Biyechanan Mishon Biyechanan Ben Zimra. So Biyechanan told us the name of Biyechanan Ben Zimra. You meant to know as follows. Lo yihiter Rabbi Chanani Ben Akavya. Ela b'yamishal tveria. Rabbi Chanani Ben Akavya only allowed his virtual mechitzes to work in the case of the yamishal tveria, the yam by tveria, the kineris. We mentioned this earlier because there was a special arrangement there. Since it already had mechitzas around the body of water, oignim, these high banks, vayores, cities, vakarfifos, these enclosed storage areas, makifos, which was surrounding the ocean, surrounding the body of water, and created mechitzas around it. So already, it already doesn't appear like it was just a rabbim, and therefore, even though it's large, it's a large, unresidentially enclosed area, but which is still a karmelis, but since it already has that separation, it already has those mechitzas around the entire body of water, which gives it the appearance of a non-Rishus HaRabim area, so the mechitza that's required for filling water doesn't have to be that extensive. and even virtually bent mechitzas are sufficient. Al b'shar me masloi, but when it comes to other bodies of water, certainly he would not allow this leniency. Tana Rabbanan gimel dvarim hiter Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya l'anshe Tveria. There were three kules that Rabbi Chananya applied, allowed for the people of Tveria. Memalan mayim megzusar b'shabbos. Number one, filling water from this balcony through virtually bent mechitzas, as we just mentioned. Number two, v'toymnin ba'atza. You can go ahead and cover your fruit using stalks and waste from the beans, as we're going to see soon. Umestapkin baluntis. Number three, you can dry yourself using a towel on Shabbos or Yontif. As the Gemara explains. Number one, memalan mayim megzustra b'Shabbos. Regarding filling water from this balcony on Shabbos, hadamar, as we just mentioned, using these virtually bent and extended mechitzes. Number two, v'toymnin ba'atza mayi. What is this thing about covering your fruit using stalks and psoilus from the beans? The sanya, we learned in the Brice. So we know that when fruit becomes wet, willingly wet, a person is pleased and wants it to be wet, then it becomes susceptible to be makabel tumah. It's called hukshel makabel tumah. Now, let's say it got wet, but it was unintentional, without the owner's consent, without his willingness, then it does not have the din of susceptibility. So what happens if you go ahead and you pick these stalks from the field and use it to cover your fruit? Since you got up early, the dew is still there, so it's still moist from the towel. Is that dew considered to be something that you want, that you're pleased with? And if that's the case, when you use it to cover your fruit, the fruit has become moist with your consent, with your das, and becomes hushal kabal tumah. So that's the brice here. Hishkim lahavi psoilis. One gets up early to bring the psoilis from the field to use for covering his fruit. And the psoilis is still moist from dew. So it depends on your intention. Im bishvil shiyesh olav tal. The reason why he got up early is because he knows there's dew there and he wants that moisture to keep his fruit fresh. Harei b'chiyuta. In that case, when he places it on the fruit and the fruit gets wet, it has the din of hukshel kabatum. Kiyuta means if water was put on the fruit, it becomes hukshar, but only if it was done with consent and willingly. So in this case, it has a din of hukshar because he wants it to be wet. What if the motive for getting up early was simply not to lose work? So he got up early, grabbed the stuff from the field while it's still moist, and used it to cover his fruit. He's not interested in the moisture. In that case, the fruit does not have a din of kiyutan. It doesn't have a din of hukshar kabotum. So how does this pertain to the people of Tveria? They used to get up early, get the psoilus from the field, and use it to cover the fruit, while the chaff and the stalks and whatever it is was still moist. And Rav Chananya assumed that their purpose is simply not to lose time from work. They had no interest or care in the moisture. Ustam anshe Tveria. The assumption is that the people of Tveria are kemishlo yibatul mlach tadami. Their purpose is simply not to lose time from work. But they have no interest in the moisture, and therefore, it's not considered to be l'rotzon, willfully, and doesn't have the ability to make the fruit susceptible to tumah. So that was the second kula that he applied for the anshei Tveria. Number three, umestapkin ba'aluntis. They can go ahead and wipe themselves dry using a towel on Shabbos. Mai, what is it referring to? The sanya, mestapik odam ba'aluntis. If a person rinses himself with cold water on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov with hot water, you can go ahead and dry yourself with a towel. Umenich v'chaloin. And he goes and he places the towel in the window of the bathhouse. Don't carry it home with you. So you can wipe yourself. There's no concern that you're going to wring the towel dry, but just place it in the window and leave it alone. V'loyim sir in a little yarn. Likewise, you shouldn't pass it on to the bathhouse attendants. V'nei shechash shudin o yisadavar. Because they're suspected of wringing those towels dry, which is a malach of schita. Abshimon oimer, apmavio b'yodu zech beisei. Likewise, you can actually carry it home. There's no concern that he's going to wring it dry, because the owner of this towel is not really makbid on the towel, says the Vilna Gaon, because a towel is meant to get dry, to get moist, and there's no concern of a melach of schita, therefore you could even carry it home, you don't have to leave it in the Beis HaMerechatz. And this was the third kula that Rav Chananya allowed for the Anshei Tveria. They can go ahead and dry themselves with a towel on Shabbos without any concern of schita. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We learned in the Mishnah that if we have a stream of water running through a chatzar, called Tanakam, you have to go ahead and construct a mechitza on the way in and on the way out to disconnect it from the body of water, the Carmelis, outside the Chatzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the wall running over the stream is sufficient. Sufficient separation for the stream of water as well. One may draw water from a stream running alongside his window, according to Rabbanan, provided it's less than 3 tefachim wide. According to Shimon Gamliel, less than 4. We have 3 approaches. Rabbi Dimi learned, they're discussing the shear of the Makim Ptur, the ridge near the stream, through which he's going to transfer his kli. According to Rabbanan, less than 3 is the Makim Ptur. According to Shimon Gamliel, less than 4. Zeyi learns that he's drawing directly from the stream. According to Rabbanan, less than 3 is not yet a kamlis. According to Shimon Gamliel, less than 4. Ravina learns he made a mechitza to disconnect the stream from the kamlis beyond, but he left a gap in the mechitza. According to Rabbanan, less than 3 is still considered to be closed off. According to Rabbanan or Shimon Gamliel, less than 4. We learned that a balcony as well needs to have a mechitza as hentfachim, and we learned about the 3 heterim that Rav Hanani Me'akavya applied to the Anshei Tveria.